morning, Hebrews chapter number 13 this morning, and we're going to be looking here at basically just one verse today. So Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. While you're finding your place in Hebrews, I would also like you to thumb on over to 1 Peter chapter 2. So Hebrews 13, but also I'd like to have you turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Good to see you today in the Lord's house, and glad that all of you are here today. Hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and spent time with your family and your friends and ate all the turkey and dressing that you got to eat and everything. And it was a wonderful day for us, and I loved it. Got surprised. Even somebody brought in some smoked brisket. Man, it was good. And so it was a great day. And thank the Lord for it. 1 Peter chapter number 2 is where we're going to start off this morning. As we're going to be seeing today a message talking about the sacrifices that God wants us to give. The sacrifices that God wants us to give. You realize that as a believer in Jesus Christ, and even though you're in the New Testament, the New Covenant, even though you have believed in Christ, that God has not wanted us to stop giving sacrifices to Him. He still requires of us as believers to give sacrifices. Now, of course, we're not talking about the blood of bulls and goats or anything like that. We're not talking about those kinds of sacrifices. Those have been all fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there are many other sacrifices, and we're only going to see one this morning. But I want to start off with 1 Peter 2:5 because we see in 1 Peter 2:5 the basis of what I'm trying to teach to you today. And it's found here in this very simple verse. He says here that you are also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Notice again what he says. You are a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. That's what you are. You've been set aside for God Almighty. We just sang that song, what? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The word holy means to be set aside or to set apart or to be consecrated is what it means. And we have been set apart from the world to now offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Spiritual sacrifices. In fact, he even says that you are a holy priesthood. Think about that. That's was a doctrine that was lost sometime. Now, I wouldn't say lost. Nothing is ever lost with God. But in some ways, in a large part, with many people, that was lost for many years. It was a doctrine that is called the priesthood of the believer. That every one of us are believers in Christ, have the ability to go to God at any time, like Hebrews 4:15 says, and get on our knees and beg God for help. That is what we have, what we can do. And we can offer to God many sacrifices that as an unbeliever you cannot offer to Him. But as a believer, we get the privilege and the honor and the ability through Christ Jesus our Lord to be priests of God, to offer Him the sacrifices that He tells us to give to Him. Now go over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. We are oftentimes confused, maybe sometimes when we think about sacrifices, maybe confused is the wrong word, but sometimes we get this idea in our head that the sacrifices of God have been discontinued. They're no longer around, the Old Testament system is done for, and we no longer need to give any sacrifices to the Lord. In fact, you find in the Old Testament that there were sacrifices that they were to give that did offer blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So there had to be a shedding of blood. But do you realize that not all sacrifices were sanctified by blood? Some of them were sanctified by water.
And in fact, one sacrifice that we're going to focus on here in just a little bit had no blood and had no water with it at all. In fact, it was basically cornbread muffins. All right? Basically cornbread muffins. So the point being is this, that even in your Old Testament, as you read through the book of Leviticus and Numbers, you're going to find places there that there were even sacrifices there that did not require blood. Sacrifices that had nothing to do, even sometimes we get this in our mind, that all sacrifices have to do with sin. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. There was this, did you realize there was that at the beginning of every harvest, they were to bring in the first fruits. They were to bring in their first fruits. They were to say, you know what? These were the very first pickings and we're going to bring them to God. And they brought them to the Lord. We do the same thing today in our, we call it in our modern vernacular, we call that our tithes and offerings. We set aside a portion of our income and we give that back to God. And we say, here you go, God, this is yours. We dedicate it, we sacrifice it to you. We're giving it to you. And we sacrifice those things. There are other sacrifices. And we're going to talk about a couple of those here in just a moment. But the ones that I'm going to deal with today, these are the sacrifices of thanksgiving. The sacrifices of thanksgiving were designed not to produce a peace or friendship with God. But the sacrifices of thanksgiving in the Old Testament were a symbolic to represent this, were symbolic and they represented this, that there already was a friendship between you and God. You love God. And so because you love God and you've received great things from God, then you want to show that love out to Him and you want to give back to Him. That's why it's called thanksgiving. Thank you. All right. It's called thanksgiving, or it's called giving of thanks. You give it. And we're going to talk about giving it to God. Number one, I want us to see, first of all, in the sacrifices of our office is this, is that we are all commanded that are believers in Christ. Let me put that in parentheses, perhaps. We are all commanded that are believers in Christ to give God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. There were, as I said, two offerings that were brought to God. One without blood and one that had some blood in it. But these two sacrifices were brought to the Lord not out of duty. They were not brought out of a trespass committed. They were just brought out of a free heart to please the Lord. Now we're going to do a little Bible study this morning. So you've got your Bible. So turn into the book of Leviticus. Leviticus. Getting back in that good Old Testament right there. And we can learn a lot of good lessons from the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter number 22 in verse number 29. Leviticus 22 in verses number 29 and 30. Let's notice a couple of things here. Leviticus 22 in verse number 29. He says, and when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up, you shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Let me read that verse number 29 again in case you weren't there. He says, and when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. That means somebody's not twisting your arm saying, hey, the priest isn't out there saying, hey, nobody's been giving a thanksgiving offering lately. Come on. And nobody's strong arming you. Nobody's trying to make you into those, trying to do those things. And I'm not trying to make you give thanks to God today. I just want to teach you. I want you to learn. I want you to, out of a free will heart, give to God, give back to God the thanks and the glory that He so rightfully deserves. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter number 7. Leviticus chapter number 7. Because let's just be honest with ourselves. If we give thanks to God or to anybody, whoever it might be, our mom, dad, wife, husband, and we do it not out of a free will, and we do it because we're made to do it, Is it really Thanksgiving? Is it really Thanksgiving? Now, I've heard some people say, well, that's why you never tell your children to say thank you to somebody. Now, that's just ridiculous, okay? That's just poor parenting, okay? We really need to let the child decide for themselves. No, children don't know, okay, what to do. All right? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, okay? You need to teach your children say thank you, all right? When somebody gives them something, you just say, and they don't say anything, you need to say thank you. And as they get older, there might need to be some discipline. There might need to be a little bit more admonishment with that. Why didn't you say thank you? You're supposed to say thank you with that. Now, you don't do that to your two-year-old, perhaps, you know, but as they get older, mine are 12, 13 years old. I'm hard to believe that. No, she's not 12 yet. Where are you at? You're 11 still. A couple more weeks, you'll be 12. Leviticus chapter number 7, though. Let's notice another quick thing here about this offering. This one was called the peace offering in Leviticus chapter 7 and verse number 12. If you offer it, now look at here in verse number 11, 7:11. If this is the law of sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. And if he offer it for a thanksgiving, okay, so there was a different mode in which you could offer the thanksgiving, the peace offering. You could offer it with the heart of thanksgiving. He says, and then he shall offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Man, fried biscuits and cornbread. Man, I'm looking forward to it. Where's it at? That's what he's talking about here. Do you realize that? I'm here talking about fried biscuits and cornbread. This sounds good. He says, you will offer this besides the cakes he shall offer for his offering, leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. So the peace offering was another type of thanksgiving offering. It was offered to God, not out of transgression or because somebody had committed iniquity, but simply because somebody wanted to give thanks and have peace, a peaceful relationship with the Lord. Now turn, if you will, to Leviticus chapter number 2. Leviticus chapter number 2. Leviticus chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, now that word meat is used in the idea of going back to 1611, 1600s, meaning of meat, and that means any kind of vegetable or any kind of food type. So it doesn't just mean meat like we think of it today. Some of you might have in your Bible meal offering right there. It is the idea of this offering that came from vegetables is the idea. So any meat offering, his offering shall be of a fine flour and shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof and the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation or a gift or a present, is the idea of what oblation means, of a meat offering, break bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation or present be a meat offering, bacon in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in thy frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil, and thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar, and the priest shall take from the meat offering memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. I'll stop right there for just a moment. Leviticus chapter 2, though, gives us the exact commandments on how these meat offerings or meal offerings, these vegetable offerings, were to be offered up unto God. This was an Old Testament sacrifice, and this follows right in suit with a thanksgiving offering in Leviticus 7 and also Leviticus chapter number 22 that we already read. But I want to notice a couple of things about it. That the thanksgiving offering, the meat offering, the meal offering, this present that you're bringing to God is, in number one, he says, in verse number one, we find that it was a pure offering. It was a pure offering. You say, how do you know that? He says, make sure you put some frankincense upon it. What does frankincense mean? Frank, pure, incense. Incense. Pure incense is what it means. He says, make sure that the offering is a pure offering. You realize when you thank God that that is a pure thing to do? That's a holy, righteous, good thing that you are doing. And not only that, but we also read here that it was to be offered with frankincense. In verse number 13, it says, "In every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt." And in verse number 14, "If thou offer a meat offering of the first fruits unto the Lord." Not only is it a pure offering, but a thanksgiving offering to God is also a costly offering. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Frankincense wasn't cheap. Salt wasn't cheap. To give up your first fruits unto God wasn't an easy thing to do because you had worked all harvest all year long to raise up those fruits. Something that really struck my eye was verses number 3 and 10. Maybe you heard me put the emphasis on it. At the end of both verses, it says that this type of offering is a thing most holy of the offerings. Again, in verse number 10, it is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Most holy. Now that really baffles me. It makes me scratch my head. Why is that? I think about the Day of Atonement. An offering made by fire for the sins of the people. I think of the daily offerings that were offered for transgressions and little lambs that were slaughtered every single year. And every single day. I think about the dedication of Solomon's temple and all the things that he did there. And all the sacrifices. But he says this offering is one that is most holy unto the Lord. Why is it that we consider sometimes that these big things that we do for God are so big, and these are the most holy, the Day of Atonement, these kinds of, we do some big things for God, but yet, do we just give Him the praise of our lips and thank Him? He says, this is a most holy offering. Again, it wasn't offered for sin, as verse number 12 tells us. It was offered unto the Lord as a gift to Him. For no other purpose, but rather to give something back to God. And then also it was made as a provision for the families of the priests. But you find in your Bibles, not only do you find that there is a relationship between we giving thanks in the Old Testament sacrifices, but there were also spiritual sacrifices in the Old Testament. Go over to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 50. Psalms chapter number 50. In Psalm 50, verse number 13, verse number 23, and many other psalms, you find that God was not just concerned with His people offering sacrifices to God with thanksgiving offerings, meal offerings, meat offerings, but He wanted something more from His people. Look what it says in Psalm 50 and verse number 13. He says, even in fact, let's go back up to verse number 12 because you see the irony in what he's saying here. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Go over to verse number 23. He says in verse number 22, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, that there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." And think about that. He says, I want you to offer to me praise and thanksgiving. Don't just keep giving me these bulls and these goats. Don't keep offering these things to me if you're not going to praise me and thank me and love me. How foolish would it be for us to think today that if we dropped our monies in the offering this morning and we thought we had done service to God and yet this morning we have never even praised Him once. God is not pleased, my friend. Let us not fool ourselves into thinking that God is pleased because we showed up at church today. But yet not one time this day have we praised God and told Him thank you for His many and wonderful blessings. Let us not fool ourselves into thinking that we have done some service to God and yet we never thank Him or praise Him or give Him glory. In Jeremiah 33 and verse number 11, it says, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Of them that will sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord." God says, I'm going to bless those people that will praise my holy name. And now turn to one more passage before we get to our text in Hebrews. Hosea. You say, where's Hosea? Well, you go to Jeremiah, you go to Ezekiel, you go to Daniel, and then you'll run right into Hosea. Hosea chapter number 14. If you find yourself in Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, any of those places, you've gone way too far. All right. It's sandwiched in right after Daniel and Joel. Hosea chapter 14 and verse number 2. Verse number 1, he says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips." What an interesting statement that is. The calves of our lips. We ought to render to God the calves of our lips. What is that? It is these right here. He's comparing your lips, your praise, your thanksgiving to God. He's comparing your lips to those calves that were offered up on the altar and a daily sacrifice giving back to God. And he says, folks, I want your praise. I want your glory. I want you to praise me and to thank me for all that I've done, all the many and wonderful and bountiful blessings that come from God. We ought to give Him praise. We ought to give Him thanks. We ought to tell Him, thank you, Lord. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. Psalm 69, 30 and 31. God says that thanking God is better. I'm more pleased with this than the calves that you're offering every single day on the altars. Now, I had you have be in Hebrews because I wanted you to see Hebrews chapter 13. What is our responsibility as believers in Christ Jesus? Well, notice, first of all, he says in verse number 15, he says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips." Or as we read it earlier, the calves of our lips. Giving thanks to God, thanks to His name. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." That's unprofitable. hear what I'm saying today, because I'm trying to teach you. I want you to have a heart of thanksgiving that every single day, what's the first words that you utter that when you get up out of the bed? What is the first thing you say? What is the first thing you do when you open your eyes? Do you thank God? Do you praise God? What do you do when you lay down? What do you do throughout the day? We ought to still be sacrificing to God the praise of our lips. He tells us in verse number 15, he says, you do it by Him, that is by Christ. For Romans 11:36 tells us, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The only way, number one, that we can ever begin to praise God is by Jesus Christ. Amen. You have no ability outside of Jesus Christ to praise the Lord. Our past position was this. Before you were saved, in Romans 1:21, the Bible says this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. People that remain in a lost condition will have this terrible trait of being unthankful. They're ungrateful. They live a life that is a life of ingratitude. Remember how many lepers returned to give thanks to Jesus Christ that day? He healed 10, right? How many returned to give thanks? One. One. It proves to us that though 10 were healed of leprosy, only one was healed of his sins. Only one. He proved that with his works. And it's also proven by Jesus Christ, for he says, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Not plural, singular. The whole. And he's not talking about his leprosy there. He's talking about something much greater, a greater condition than leprosy. A condition that was taking him to hell. His sin. And he was dealing with that. And people that do not give glory to God, and people that express an attitude of ungratefulness and ingratitude and have no thankfulness in their heart are people that express to us and to others that they're simply lost and don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. To express that, to not show that out, and you ought to be careful to be around those people, because the Bible says in 1 Timothy, he says, make sure with such people, turn away from. Get away from those kinds of people. Because even as a believer, when you hang around and be around people that are ungrateful and that are just unbelievers and that don't want to give glory to God, then guess what? Your natural response is, when you're hanging around those, if you're not going to be strong and solid in the Lord and give glory to God even though they don't, if you're going to be a wimpy Christian and not stand up for Jesus Christ, then you're going to be sucked into that. Stay away from that. Get away from that. Unless you're going to give glory to God in front of them. When you and a coworker sit down to eat and he's lost, you know what you ought to do? You ought to unashamedly bow your head and thank God for your food. You ought to unashamedly do that. We ought to give glory to God. Give glory to God. And people that live with the heart of unthankfulness. He says that right there. They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. And they proved that out because they were not thankful. They were not thankful. Now that's a pretty serious condemnation. I didn't understand that. You mean if I never told God thank you, I'm not saved? Well, most likely you probably are not saved. If you've never told God thank you. You've never one time told God thank you for anything. Romans 1:21. That's your condition. That's where you're at. I don't want to give thanks to God. I don't think He deserves thanks. Well, now you're just digging a bigger hole, aren't you? Getting deeper. I'm not here to make a judgment on somebody's salvation. I'm just here to tell you what the Scriptures say. Scriptures are plain. Jesus said there was 10 that were healed, but only one came to give thanks. You're the one that proves that your faith has made thee whole. Unthankfulness to God is a sign of unbelief. It's a sign that somebody's still living in an unregenerate state. If you're saved, born again, a believer in Christ Jesus, the Lord, you will be thankful. You want to be thankful. That is who you are. That is who you choose to be because of God and Christ's great love for you. There might be times in your life where you're not as grateful and as thankful as you should have been. And you know what? At this very moment, if you're living in one of those times, you should probably be under a lot of conviction. Amen? You should probably be going, you know what? I am saved and I haven't been as thankful as I ought to be. And the Holy Spirit of God should be pegging you pretty good right now. Not me, the Holy Spirit of God. You should be saying, you know what? You haven't been thankful for your wife like you should. You haven't been thankful for your kids like you should. You haven't been thankful for your job like you should. You haven't been thankful for your health like you should. You haven't been thankful for this church and your pastor and your life and your family and your car and your house like you should. And if God is on your heart this morning about that, be thankful to God for conviction of sin. We ought to be thankful to God that God convicts us when we do wrong. I didn't just want to give you a history lesson with Leviticus 2 and 7 and 22 and Psalms and Hosea, all right? I hope you got the point that the reason I went through all of that in the Old Testament was to prove out to you that God is very, very concerned with the issue of thanksgiving. It's not just something that is off the cuff. And then he says in verse number 15, it's not only by Christ, but it should be continually. It should be something that's continually happening in our life. He says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, always. Don't stop. Don't quit. The burnt offerings were every single day. Let us not stop giving thanks to God every single day. And think about it. God's requirement for the offering was cornmeal. It's not like you had to offer to God a cow every time, right? When you wanted to give God thanks, okay? Cornbread and muffins. Amen? Pretty simple, pretty much the cheapest stuff you can buy in the store, right? And I'm not calling Thanksgiving cheap. I'm just saying that it doesn't cost you all. It does cost you, and I'll talk about that in just a second, but it doesn't cost you very much time to do. You could do it right now. You could, in your heart right now, say, God, I'm so thankful for you. I'm not telling you to do that. That'd be wrong. You got to do it of your own free will. But thanksgiving does cost something. I won't have you raise your hand. But some of you may have had to have that awkward Thanksgiving prayer around some family members that were lost. I've been there. You're in the Thanksgiving, you know, and somebody's got to pray for the food. Of course, if you're a preacher, you know what, you're always the one that's called upon. I'm like, listen, it's not the priesthood of Matthew, okay? All right, there's called the priesthood of believers. Everybody can pray that is saved, okay? All right? But if you're the preacher, it's so good to have Matthew here, you know? Yeah, he's going to pray for us today. Yes. I don't know why. I mean, I give the gospel in my prayers too. You know, sometimes, you know, I got to get the gospel in there. I'm just saying that sometimes that Thanksgiving, you sit down with a coworker and you start thanking God and talking about the Lord and praising the Lord. They're either going to start asking you questions or they're going to say, "Yeah, I'm going to find somebody else to eat with." It's going to cost you something sometimes. but it's pure. It's a pure, holy, worshipful act to God. When you give God thanks, you're not, think about this, you're not trying to get anything from God. You have already, if you will, gotten from God. And you're saying, thank you, Lord. I know that's not proper grammar. But you're not getting anything from God. You've already gotten from God. You've already received from the Lord. And you're saying, God, I want to give back to you. And God, there's nothing I can give you. Right? How many of you feel like that with around Christmas time sometimes? You've got somebody in your life that's got everything and they don't need anything, right? God's got literally everything and needs nothing. But he says, give thanks. Did you worship God today? I don't mean did you come to church. I mean, did you worship God today? Have you worshiped God today? Have you told him thank you? And then confess. He says, offer this continually through Christ and confess it. He says, and continually with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The word giving thanks means confess or acknowledge or to speak the same things. We ought to give thanks to God for all the good things in our life. But where does real Christianity really show its head at? Where does real believers, where do they really show their true colors at? It's not in thanking God for all the good things. But Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's when we give thanks to God, not just in the good times, but we even give him thanks for all the times in the bad times. When the car breaks down, now this might sound weird, but you tell God, thank you. Were you still thankful? Were you still thankful? Jonah has crouched in the belly of a whale. He's bent up and curled up and he's just, his head has got seaweed and stuff all around him, and he's just there in the bowel of the whale, and there he is, just sitting there, and he says in Jonah 2:9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. In the worst possible place that I've ever been in my whole entire life, and yet I'm going to give God thanks. I'm going to give God thanks. I don't know what your opinions are on the times, but I am determining not to let the times put me in a place of ingratitude and in an unholy spirit that does not allow me to praise and thank the Lord. Whenever we are thankful in bad times, it's when we will begin to learn and understand and see that our faith is perfecting and moving forward and getting closer and closer to the Lord. I surely did appreciate some of the text messages I received this week. Many were thankful for different things. I like Mason's. He said he was thankful for the capability to work. That's a good thankfulness. One said that they were thankful not just for their family, but I believe Luke worded it like this. He said, I am thankful that my wife has sacrificed in order to keep our home full time. He said that I am thankful for the encouragement and the support of my church and God's people, which encourages me and in many different ways and through many different people to keep me serving the Lord. He also says, I'm thankful that the Lord has ordered my steps and directed me out of an ungodly employment to more of a godly employment. His wife said that she was thankful that for the long-suffering grace of God, which he kindly bestowed upon us to save an undeserving person like me. She's thankful for friends who love like family. And she's even thankful for the wonderful, and I like this thought, she was thankful for the wonderful flavors that God has created in this world to satisfy our palates. Isn't that a good thought? Albert texted me and said he was thankful for our church, and he was thankful for, and I appreciated this, it meant a lot to me that he was thankful for me as his pastor. And I'm not looking for Thanksgiving, but I appreciated that. And just many more. My point being is this, is that we know how to give God the thanks. We know how to give God the glory. We know how to give God the praise that is due unto His name. The question I have to ask for us is this, are we doing it? Are we doing it? Because as believers, we should and we can. We should and we can do it. God has never given to us a command that we cannot follow. In the worst of times, you can be thankful to God for something. And then finally, when you give thanks to God, in the rough times, in the difficult times, and even in the good times, you know what you're doing? You are reflecting the glory of God to other people around you. And people will see that. People will notice that. They'll take attention to that. And the lost will begin to wonder, why are they like this? Why are they so thankful? Even though it doesn't seem like they have anything to be thankful for. Friend, are we thankful like we should? I think we all could confess that we're not as thankful as we could be and should be. If you're here today and you have no thankfulness in your heart at all for God, for His glory, for His praise, you might want to ask some serious questions. Because those in Romans 1:21 says that those that will not give glory to God and refuse to give Him thanks are those that are still living in their sins. Don't be that person. You don't have to be that person. Because I'll tell you why. Because there was one that came to give His life for you. In the beginning, or it tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The best reason I can think of to give thanks to God today is because God gave to me something much greater, much more wonderful, much more satisfying, and much more eternal than I could ever give to Him. He gave me His Son. And when He gave me His Son, He gave me salvation. Your greatest need today is forgiveness of your sin. Have you been forgiven of your sins? Have you trusted Christ to save you from your sins? I pray if you haven't, you will. And I pray if you have, that you'll improve and move forward in this process of thanksgiving that we're all in. I'm not there yet, folks. Can I make an honest admission? I'm not there. I'm not there. Are you? I don't think any of us would be too proud, that proud to say I'm there. I've reached it. I've attained. There's much, much, much more to give thanks to God for while we live. In praise His name. Father, we're thankful.